Hello. My name is Dr. Gary Collins. I'm a clinical psychologist and a professor of counseling at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois. This is a tape about spiritual issues. This tape is not meant to replace a counselor, to answer all your questions, or to solve your problems for you. It is intended instead as a supplement to your counseling, an added plus that your counselor would like you to hear and discuss during later counseling sessions. It has been discovered in the past that listening to tapes has been helpful to people. So hopefully, as you listen to this tape on spiritual issues, it will be helpful as you think about some of the spiritual issues in your own life. One of my favorite Bible books is the Book of Philippians. It was written by Paul when he was in prison. Certainly, he was not having an easy life at that point in his earthly journey. Probably, he was having a lot of pain and difficulty. But this little epistle has been called the Epistle of Joy. It's only got four chapters, and they're all pretty short. But the word joy, or rejoicing, is mentioned 16 times in Paul's little letter. He also wrote in this letter about his prayer life, about his ability to praise God, even in the midst of all kinds of difficulties. He wrote about the freedom that he was having in prison, freedom to tell others about his faith. He talked about his goals of serving Christ, even though things were not going too well for him at the time. In this passage, he mentions that he isn't anxious, that he has a deep inner peace, that he has learned to be content whatever the circumstances, and that he has discovered that God will supply all of his needs. We read in this little epistle about his concern for others, about Paul's humility, about his Christ-likeness, about his willingness to disciple others. None of this is stated in a boasting way. But instead, we see a man of God who's growing in his relationship with God, who's reaching out to others in his service to God, even when things aren't going very well. Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a marvelous example. Here is a man who is human like you and I are, and yet he still seemed to be growing. Now, I hesitate to mention Paul to begin this tape. To start with the Apostle Paul is maybe unrealistic for most of us. We all feel so incompetent in our own spiritual growth. Paul was such a hero of the faith. He seemed so far ahead of the rest of us. Spiritually, he seemed so much more Christ-like than certainly I feel, or that probably you feel, or that either of us will ever be. And yet twice in his little epistle to the Philippians, he tells people to follow him. In Philippians chapter 3, for example, verse 17, Paul says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you." And then over in chapter 4, verse 9, he tells people again to follow his example. "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul is telling us to follow his example. I wonder if you know of anybody who is a real spiritual giant. Maybe it's somebody that you know now, or somebody that you've known in the past, somebody in your church, perhaps somebody in your denomination, maybe a person in your Bible study group, or somebody in your neighborhood who seems to be really at peace with God. Here is somebody that can be an example, and Paul is saying that he was an example. And we start with the Apostle Paul to try and follow the example of this real giant of the faith. But as we look at these people, we recognize that they are human beings, and the spiritual depth is possible for us. Paul implies that spiritual depth is possible for us. It doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come by following certain steps or some easy plan. It doesn't come quickly. But spiritual growth becomes like the growth of a tree. It takes time. It takes nurturing. It has to endure a few storms. Sometimes it needs to be fed. It needs protection, especially in its early days while it's just a little sapling and needs to continue to grow into a tree. And if we're going to overcome our spiritual problems and experience real spiritual growth, we need determination. We need discipline. We need guidance and help. Often the guidance and help and encouragement that comes from older believers, from mentors, from people who are spiritual giants, like Paul, and like some of those people that you or I might know. We need constant periods of prayer, times reading the Scriptures, studying the Bible, periods of worship, and periods of service. We know all of this, and yet sometimes it's hard to develop this spiritual growth when we're in the midst of spiritual times of deadness. But spiritual maturity, we discover, takes time. It takes time, maybe years, before we really reach a high level of spiritual maturity, but we can start the process right now. Even though spiritual growth and moving ahead spiritually may take a long time, and even though it might be difficult, still we can start now dealing with the spiritual obstacles that we might have to encounter. There are a number of these obstacles. There are obstacles that probably we all encounter at times, and I might like to list them in the form of questions. 10 questions that you might consider as you ponder your spiritual growth. I suppose that sometime we have all ridden on a roller coaster. When my kids were younger, they would want to go periodically to an amusement park, and they would think it would be a wonderful idea if Dad would go on all of these things with them. I don't know how many times I have been tilted and flipped and juggled, all in the cause of family togetherness. At the time, the kids were enjoying it a lot more than I was, but sometimes we'd get on those roller coasters and we'd go up and down, just like many of us find in our spiritual lives. It's sort of like a spiritual roller coaster. We get on that roller coaster and we're up sometimes, we're high, we're enthusiastic, we've been to maybe a worship experience, and we really feel close to the Lord, and then sometimes before long we're down in the doldrums and we don't feel much like praying, and we don't feel that there's much spiritual dynamic in our own lives. Well, how do we keep from that roller coaster effect? We do so, I suggest to you, by overcoming some of the obstacles that tend to bring about spiritual dryness in people. And there are 10 of these obstacles that I'd like to list in the form of questions. The first question to ask ourselves is this: am I a believer? There are a lot of people who attend church, who do good deeds, who want to be Christians and maybe followers of Jesus Christ, but they're not even believers. They haven't known what it means to acknowledge that Christ is Lord, ask Him to come into their lives, to forgive their sin. The Bible says that these people, although they might have intellectual knowledge of spiritual things, they're not really believers. They're not even followers of Jesus Christ. If we're going to escape the spiritual dryness that many people encounter, we need to look up passages like Romans 3:16 and remember that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we confess that we love the Lord, that He is sovereign, and acknowledge that He is Lord, then we are children of God. We are members of the family of God. He comes and resides in us, makes us new creatures, and we become followers of Jesus Christ in a personal way. The first question to ask ourselves then is, am I a believer? Like the Father, there's a Father described in Scripture, and He came to Jesus, and when Jesus talked to Him, He said at the end, "Lord, I believe. Please help mine unbelief." And maybe sometimes it's hard to really commit ourselves to Christ, and we really want to believe, but it's tough sometimes to even want to believe. And maybe at this point we need to say, "Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief." So the first question we need to ask, am I a believer? But the second question we need to ask, this is the second obstacle, is, am I sinning? In recent years, even psychologists have begun to talk about sin, about not only lying or stealing or committing adultery, but according to the Bible, sin involves much more. Any attitude, any action that goes against God's will is considered sinful. When we sin consciously, when we fail to repent, when we refuse to confess our faults to God, then spiritual dryness is almost certain. King David talked about this in the 32nd Psalm. "When I kept silent about my sin," he wrote, "my body wasted away. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer." David was feeling physical effects of his sinfulness, and certainly he must have felt a psychological and a spiritual dryness at that time. He knew he was sinning, and he had not yet experienced that forgiveness that comes into his life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we are on a spiritual roller coaster on the downside. We are spiritually dry because there's some kind of sin that is in our lives and we're not doing anything about it. You know if that is true. And we're not going to have any real spiritual growth or spiritual maturing until we consistently deal with those sins, knowing that God forgives us. His Son Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He enables us to find that forgiveness and enable us to grow beyond those sinful experiences. The third question is one that might surprise you in a list dealing with spiritual issues. Am I out of shape physically? Many believers who seek to do the will of God experience spiritual dryness, but the reason is physical. It is well known that when we get tired or when we're not eating well, we often don't think clearly. We don't act efficiently. If we're overweight or not getting enough exercise, sometimes we don't function well at all, and certainly we don't function well in our spiritual lives. Do you remember Elijah? He ran out into the wilderness. He had a spiritually mountaintop experience. Then he discovered after his time on Mount Carmel that he might be killed. The queen of the land was after him. And he ran out into the remote areas and laid under a juniper tree and was about to die. And the angel came along and didn't give Elijah a speech about his spiritual dynamics or what was going on in his spiritual life. The angel said, Elijah, you need to get some rest. You need to take some good nourishment. You need to have this water that I prepared for you. And sometimes our spiritual lives, like other parts of our lives, are in difficulties because we're out of shape physically. But then it won't surprise you on the next question, am I undernourished spiritually? Several years ago, I was asked to write a book, and I got working on the book very hard. I worked all day on this book, 12, 14 hours a day. It was a book on counseling. And I was spending so much time giving to write this book that I became spiritually drained. I discovered that my times in reading the scriptures didn't mean very much anymore. I didn't have time to pray. I was working so hard. And what was happening was that I was trying to write something that would help other people spiritually, but I was spiritually drained myself. Well, just like a baby never develops without any nourishment, so Christians cannot grow or experience any kind of real vitality if they neglect their prayer lives, if we ignore the scriptures, if we forsake time in church, if we spend so much time giving to other people that we never take anything in, that we never get rejuvenated. You will remember that Jesus had a busy, busy life, and yet frequently he would withdraw from the crowds and get away by himself and spend time in communion with his heavenly Father, because he knew that he needed that time of spiritual input to help him to grow and to mature spiritually. So maybe our spiritual problems come because we are undernourished spiritually. But the fifth question is the opposite. Am I overfed spiritually? I know some people who spend an awful lot of time taking in. They listen to Bible studies. They listen to Christian radio stations. They read Christian books. They go to Christian meetings. They become like sponges. They soak up everything they can. They're taking in all the time. But they never give anything out. Have you ever had a Thanksgiving dinner, and when you're done, you have eaten all the turkey and everything else is on the table, and you just feel overstuffed? You feel kind of sluggish? I used to feel that way when I take my kids to those amusement parks. We would visit all these junk food places, and it was all good, it was all fun, but sometimes by the end of the day you felt kind of sluggish and not very much filled with enthusiasm. The essence of Christianity involves giving. While some Christians may be able to take in and retain almost unlimited quantities of spiritual food, most of us need to be sharing with other people. May it be that perhaps your spiritual deadness or the difficulties you're having now comes because you are taking so much in, but you're not sharing with anybody else, you're not involved in your church in any way, you're not letting anybody in your family know of what's going on in your life spiritually. You are becoming like a sponge that is spiritually waterlogged. So you may be overfed spiritually. But the next question is, am I legalistic and hypercritical? Have you noticed that sometimes Jesus dealt with these kinds of people in a harsh way? When Jesus was dealing with people, many people came to him, but he was always gracious, it seemed, always compassionate, always understanding. When people wanted to repent, when they were uninformed, when they were confused, when they were trying to find answers, Jesus was always caring. He always dealt with them in a sensitive, compassionate way. But when the local religious leaders came to Jesus, many times Jesus was almost ruthless in the way he dealt with them. Because here were people who were legalistic. They were hypercritical. They were tearing into everybody else. They were the holier-than-thou type of people who were very quick to condemn everybody else. Many times we see those kinds of people today. They look so spiritual, they look so holy, and yet they are so very, very critical. Many times we go down spiritually in our own lives because we are so rigid and making so many demands on other people and so inclined to be hypercritical that we don't really grow into the gracious, godly, compassionate people that the Lord wants us to be. But the seventh question concerns my thinking. Am I thinking clearly? Living in a non-Christian culture is difficult for all of us. Paul, when he was in prison, was surrounded by people who were not believers. And many of the people who are around us are non-believers. In our society, for example, there's a lot of emphasis on self-sufficiency, on rugged individualism, on getting possessions, on getting power. And it is very, very easy to become engulfed in all of this self-centered thinking. It's easy to become engulfed in the struggle and the striving for success that is part of our culture. And we need periodically, I suggest, to stand back and ask the Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I serving where you want me to serve? Are my attitudes pleasing to you? Are my ways of thinking consistent with what you have revealed in the Scriptures? If I deviate from what the Scriptures teach and my thinking becomes like those around me, I'm likely to go down spiritually. And sometimes we can check our own thinking to see if we're thinking biblically and clearly. But question number 8 concerns the balance in our lives. Am I balanced in my life? I remember a pastor who once spoke at a conference, and he said, I believe that if I take care of the church, the Lord will take care of my family, and the Lord will take care of everything else in my life. Seems to me that that pastor was unbalanced. He was spending so much time in church that he was even forgetting his family, and his family was falling apart. There are other people I know that are so caught up in their jobs, in the world of sports, in their hobbies, maybe so caught up in their families that their lives get out of balance. I suspect we all have to work on this. Certainly if you are going to have spiritual vitality and emotional psychological health, each of us needs to find a balance between work and rest, between solitude and between involvement with other people, between individual activities and family activities. We need to have a willingness to learn from people and to creatively give out to other people. Somehow we need to strive, perhaps constantly, to have this kind of balance in the way we spend our time. And if you're like me, you probably spend a lot of time thinking about these kinds of issues and making sure that you have that balance. When we get unbalanced, we go down spiritually. The ninth question asks about the spiritual power in our lives. Are we spiritually powered? Powered by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit lives within believers and is available to teach us, to strengthen us, to alert us to sin. But the Spirit can also be ignored. He can be quenched and pushed aside. And when that happens, this leads to spiritual dryness. We are going to have to be filled with the Spirit and growing spiritually, like we read in Ephesians 5:18, if we are going to be people who are maturing and avoiding some of the obstacles and the spiritual dryness that comes into our lives so often. If we want to be filled with the Spirit, we need to examine ourselves, to confess our sins, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and to control us. I don't suggest that this is a one-time thing. I think we need daily to talk to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to guide us and to make sure that we are completely committed to Him as we go through our Christian lives. And the Holy Spirit works to give us the power we need, including the power to grow spiritually. Well, there's one last question. Am I too independent? The Christian is to be part of a body or a group of other believers. We need one another, other people with whom we can have mutual caring, people whom we can help and who can help us. The body is a place where there is teaching and challenging and support. When we ignore other believers, when we try to build our spiritual lives on our own, we are likely to go down spiritually. We need other believers. And sometimes the problem, the obstacle to our spiritual growth comes because we have become too independent. And so I would suggest that these are 10 questions that you can ask yourself. If you are feeling spiritually dry and you are concerned about spiritual growth, as we consider these 10 questions, we need to remember that we as Christians are in a spiritual battle. The devil wants us to be confused, to be distressed, to be ineffective, and to be spiritually dry. His attacks, it seems, come regularly, and we are especially likely to fall when we're tired, when we're not feeling well, when we're emotionally drained, when we're fresh from some kind of a mountaintop experience or have been successful. The Christian, therefore, has to be alert to spiritual dryness, alert to the devil's activities in our own lives, but confident that God, in his power, is able to protect us from some of these spiritual periods of deadness that come into our lives. Probably, I suspect, most of us discover that our spiritual lives have high points and low points. But we don't need to soar and then plummet like riders on a roller coaster in some amusement park. Steady spiritual growth is possible. It can be stable and less disruptive than one of those roller coaster rides. And steady spiritual growth and maturity is available to anyone who sincerely wants to overcome spiritual dryness. We have on this tape suggested some ways in which we can overcome that spiritual dryness. You will notice on the bottom of page 1 of your guide sheet that there are some questions for you to look at, some spaces to fill in as you ponder where you are spiritually. I would like to suggest that you turn off the tape at this time and complete side 1 of the guide sheet. Then we'll pick this up and talk a little bit more about our spiritual growth as we turn over and look at side 2.
On side 1 of this tape, we were able to spend some time looking at our own spiritual lives and pondering some of the ways that we can improve our spiritual lives. Several years ago, Robert McGee, who is a professional Christian counselor, pondered some of the issues that hinder our spiritual growth. He suggested that there are several obstacles, his own list of obstacles, that can prevent us from becoming more mature as Christians. He would call them several ways of thinking that occur in many Christians, in the lives of sincere Christians. And these ways of thinking get in the way of our growth as spiritually maturing individuals. These 5 obstacles that he lists are not in the Bible, but they come from a misunderstanding of the Scriptures. The first obstacle that he would suggest is that some Christians are too concerned about spiritual growth. Does that surprise you? Robert McGee makes an interesting statement. He says that sometimes we have the wrong goals as Christians. We say, I want to be spiritually growing. I want to be learning. I want to be improving. I want to be better. In itself, none of this is wrong. But a lot of the emphasis is put on me. But if you look at spiritual growth in the Scriptures, you will notice that the emphasis is not on me and on my spiritual growth. The emphasis in the Scriptures seems to be more on knowing Christ, on honoring Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for example, says that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever. Here the Scripture is telling us that we need to know more about Christ. Philippians chapter 3, that passage that was written by Paul while he was in prison. In that passage, Paul talks about the importance of knowing Christ better. Chapter 3, verse 7, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Savior and Lord. And in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know more about Christ. Is it possible that sometimes we have difficulties in our spiritual lives because we are so concerned about ourselves that we forget about knowing what he is like? I discovered several years ago that if I spend time reading the Psalms, often I'm able to learn about what God is like. And when I know what God is like, I find myself becoming more and more like him. How can we follow him and be like him if we don't know what he's like? So we learn what he is like by looking into the Scriptures and consistently growing in our knowledge of him. But there's a second obstacle, according to Mr. McGee. Some Christians are too mechanical in their Christian lives. These people, and you may be one of them, may really want spiritual maturity. So they set up Bible reading charts and rigid prayer schedules. They very rarely miss a church service. But their lives are dull, without much joy, without any real power, without much spiritual vitality. they become sort of rigid like the Pharisees. When that happens, we need to stop and ask what's going on. There are some people who have rigid personalities. Everything is well organized, well structured, well disciplined. So it's not surprising that their spiritual lives are that way. Other people live lives that seem of chaos. There's a lot of disorganization. They never seem to be able to plan anything. And sometimes their spiritual lives are that way. I would suggest that true spirituality is going to put us someplace in the middle. We do need time to pray and meditate and read the scriptures and worship, but not in a rigid way. By the same token, we need to have some discipline too. And when we are too rigid or too undisciplined, we have some difficulties. As Christians, if we are going to mature, we need both discipline and a flexibility so that we can be open to God's leading and to God's timing. So the second obstacle is that many Christians have two mechanical ways of looking at their Christian lives. But, says Mr. McGee, there's a third one. Some Christians are too mystical. These are people who seem to rely most of the time on their inner feelings. If it feels good spiritually, I'll do it. If I feel that this is God's will for me, I'll do it. And much of their spiritual lives are based on feelings. Now, the only problem with this, a major problem with this, is that our feelings can be very unstable. Sometimes we feel frustrated, or moody, or sad, or elated, or discouraged. And often these feelings come because of some circumstances in life. Sometimes the feelings come because of some physical things that are going on in life. Sometimes what we feel God wants, or what God would have us to do, is inconsistent with what the Bible says God would want us to do. We must be very, very cautious about building our lives on feelings only. I remember talking to a lady one day, and she said, I read the Bible sometimes, but I rely on God to give me little dewdrops of guidance from heaven, and I go on these dewdrops, which I kind of feel, and that's how I manage my life. Well, I was very nervous about this, because feelings are so unstable, and these dewdrops, I suspect what she would hear or think she hears would depend on what's going on in her life right now. But if being too mystical is a problem, how do we make a decision? I have a little list that I follow in my own life that might be helpful to you. If I'm trying to make a decision, I ask myself several questions. Suppose I was looking for a new job. Suppose I was looking for some kind of a new type of work or something new that I was going to do in the church that somebody asked me to do or knew that I was going to be asked to do at my work. I'd ask questions like this. Is what I am considering biblical and Christ-honoring? That's a good question you might ask. Are you going to move? Are you going to buy a new car? Are you going to go on a vacation? Is what I'm proposing biblical and Christ-honoring? Then, is it consistent with my abilities, with my personality, with my life goals? If somebody asked me to be a singer, I would know it's not consistent with my abilities because I can't sing. I'm not a professional performer in terms of music. I have to look at my personality and my life goals, and what I do often fits in with that. I believe God wants us to do things that are consistent with our abilities and our personalities and life goals. Then I ask sometimes, can somebody else do it as well as I can or better? I never serve on the church board at my church. I've been asked on occasion to be a deacon in the church, but I've always said no. And the reason I say no is because there are other members of the body, other people in the church that I know are better at that kind of thing. They can do it as well as I can and probably better. But there are some things that I do well, and that's where I focus my attention. I think that's what God wants us to do in the body of Christ, to each rely on our gifts. Then, do other Christians agree that it should be done? Sometimes I'll be making a decision, and I'm not really sure what decision to make. So I'll ask one or two other people, maybe three or four, what do they think? And God in His wisdom often guides other people as they can counsel us so that we can make decisions that are honoring to Christ. Then I have to ask myself, is it feasible, financially, or in terms of my time? I'm one of these guys who loves to take on all kinds of projects, and as a result, I'm always perpetually busy. I suspect that you might feel the same way, and I'm not always careful in what I take on or what I agree to do. I know some people who are so busy in their churches that they're running all the time, and they've taken on things that are not feasible in terms of the amount of time they've got. Something has to suffer. The next question is, what are my motives for doing it? Are my motives good? Maybe I want to serve the Lord. Maybe I want to do what I do best. But maybe I want fame or prominence or something that is not really very good motives. It's good periodically to ask what your motives are. What are the advantages and disadvantages of doing what I'm about to do? That's worth pondering at times. And then the last question, do I feel like doing it? Now there's where the feelings come in. You'll notice I put that right at the bottom of my list. These questions aren't necessarily arranged in any order of priority, but certainly that bottom one, do I feel like doing it, kind of comes down at the bottom. I think it's fine to go with your feelings. I think that can be very valid, to go with your feelings. By the same token, I think we also need to go with our thinking, and this other list can help. And sometimes we have spiritual problems because our lives have become too feeling-oriented, too mystical, and we don't really think through things with questions like the ones I've raised. But Mr. McGee says there is another obstacle. Some Christians are too uninformed. Many years ago, I read a story called Acres of Diamonds. You've probably heard a story or this story or a variation of it. It told about a man in Africa who lived on a farmland, and he was very poor. His crops didn't grow, and eventually he sold the land and went into some other kind of work. The person who bought the land discovered one day that this land was covered with diamonds, and underneath, a few feet or a few hundred feet down, was discovered the largest diamond mine in South Africa, and they're still taking diamonds out of that mine. Here was a man who had all of this information. He was right on top of it and didn't even know it. Many times I think our spiritual lives are like that. We get involved in sin and we forget that sin will be forgiven, like 1 John 1:9 tells us. We wonder how in the world we're going to change. How can I change my personality, my way of thinking, my own spiritual development? And we forget that the scriptures tell us we've got a resource there. And if we look into Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, self-control. Here we recognize that the Holy Spirit gives us characteristics that enable us to grow and to mature and to become more Christ-like. Here is a diamond mine of information right there in the Scriptures, and sometimes we're too uninformed to know how to use it. Sometimes we're anxious, and we wonder, what can I do about my anxiety? And we forget that the Scriptures talk about this too. The Apostle Paul at one point talked about the fact that we shouldn't be anxious about anything. Remember, he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, here again while he's in prison, in what could have been a very anxious situation, remember that the Lord is near. In everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a gold mine of useful information. But sometimes we don't know about this because we are uninformed. And as we become more and more knowledgeable as Christians, we become more informed about what the Scriptures say and how this can apply to our own spiritual lives. But Mr. McGee suggests there's one other obstacle that we face. Some Christians are too sinful. We talked about this on the other side of the tape. Sin is something which is pleasant. Sin is something which at times is difficult to forsake. If it wasn't hard to get rid of, if it wasn't something that we enjoyed, it wouldn't be a problem. But many times we keep on sinning, and when that happens, we hinder our relationship with the Lord, and we prevent our spiritual growth. And so there are these obstacles, these things that get in the way of our own maturity as followers of Jesus Christ. When we finish this tape, you'll be asked to ponder again some of the issues that are of concern in your own spiritual life. You may want to think about some outstanding Christian leader, or maybe somebody that you know personally who is growing spiritually, and you might want to meet with that person and ask that person how he or she is growing and what sorts of things they have discovered as they have sought to grow spiritually as a follower of Jesus Christ. You may want to look at side 2 of your guide sheet and look at those couple of questions. What are these obstacles that apply to your own life? How are these interfering with your life? Which ones are creating problems? And you might want to ask if you need help from other people in order to grow spiritually. One of the things you may need help with is your own personal devotional life. We hear a lot about this, about the importance of spending time alone and privately with the Lord, but we aren't always sure how to do this. Sometimes somebody that you know who is working in this area, growing in this area, can help you with this. For me, I try to discipline myself to spend time every day reading the Scriptures, maybe just a little part of Scriptures, but at least reading the Scriptures and spending time in prayer. Several months ago, I discovered the value of writing out my prayers. That may seem like a strange thing, but I heard of a well-known pastor who in the morning sits down with a piece of paper, several pieces of paper, and writes a prayer to God, writes a letter to God. I thought it was a foolish way of doing things when I first heard about it, until I tried it. And I began to discover that by writing things out, my attention is more focused, my mind is less inclined to wander, and often it enables me to put on paper what I really want to say to God. Sometimes, however, you may have more to say to God than you can put on paper, so you might want to write a little bit and then not write everything. But sometimes even writing out a prayer to God can be helpful. Writing out a prayer list of the things that you would like to see God do in your life and asking Him to guide. Keeping track of what you're reading so from day to day you continue to read the Scripture, passage after passage. You may remember that in the early part of the Psalm, Psalm chapter 1, we're talking about meditating on the Word of God day and night. And frequently we see this throughout the Scriptures. I wonder if that could be taken literally, that even in the morning we spend a little time looking at the Scriptures, and at night before we go to bed we spend time looking at the Scriptures. Some of us are morning people, some of us are night people, and we're much more inclined to function better at one of the two ends of the day. Well, take the end of the day that is best for you and spend your quality time with God when you're freshest. At the other end of the day, you might just spend the short time in prayer and in reading the Scriptures. If we focus our attention on spiritual growth like this and learn to walk with the Lord daily like this and ask Him to guide us as we go through our lives, I believe we'll begin to see some of these obstacles that we've talked about on this tape begin to disappear. We'll discover then, as most of us discovered already, that spiritual maturing is not easy. It is not easy to be growing as a man or woman of God. It is not easy to be knowing God better. The devil would like to prevent us from growing in this way, in the way of knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and becoming more and more Christ-like. But this is not something which is beyond our reach. We can overcome the spiritual obstacles. We can ask God to change us in specific ways. I have a little list of 15 characteristics that I would like to see come in my life. They're characteristics that enable me to be more Christ-like. I want to be more giving. I want to be more godly. I want to be more gracious. I want to be more caring. Those kinds of things. I carry the little list in my Bible. I put the list on my calendar in front of me. And I ask God every day to change me in these ways. Over the years, I think He's beginning to move in these areas. And other people sometimes mention the changes they begin to see. But it's slow, and it's something that matures over long periods of time. We can't do it quickly. We can't do it alone. But we can do it with the encouragement and the guidance and the prayers of other believers. And we can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do it when we have the growing knowledge of Christ as revealed in the Scripture. We all experience times of spiritual difficulties as we go through life, but God can enable us to keep off that roller coaster of spiritual dryness and grow beyond where we are now. May the Lord continue to work in your life and help you to become more like the man or woman that God intended you to be. When you have finished listening to this tape, and when you have completed all of these suggested assignments on your guide sheet, please return to your counselor. Take this tape back with you and take the guide sheet. Then you can discuss with your counselor some of the things that have come up on this tape or some of the thoughts that have come to your mind as you've listened and as you've worked through the guide sheet. Your counselor will be able to help you to grow from this point so that you can be more Christ-like from this point in your life and beyond.